Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every day. It is a great Tuesday here in Boston. It is a great Tuesday here on Locked On Red Sox. I have a lot to talk about today. We are going to talk about what happened in Game 3 between E-Rod and Carlos Correa, Alex Cora's comments after the game, talk about some potential pitching plans for Game 5, maybe even Game 4 as well. And as we always do, we will end this show on a positive note. I'm Lauren Campbell. I cover Boston sports for NESN. I've been in the Boston media scene now for over 6 years. Born and raised in the Boston area, so love, love, love being able to bring you a reporter perspective, fan perspective, and a very, very happy, joyful, gleeful fan right now as the Red Sox get set to take on the Astros in Game 4 on Tuesday night. Boston has a really, really good chance here to go up 3-1. Things are working in their favor. The momentum is on their side. Like I said, we have a ton to get to. And I just wanted to make a note that my co-host, Jason Mastrodonato of the Boston Herald, is still with us, I promise. He is busting his butt covering the Red Sox at Fenway, in Tampa when they were playing the Rays. He is absolutely crushing the coverage at the Boston Herald. So please, please, please go check it out. Bear with us while we continue to do these solo shows just for a little while longer. But the two of us will be back before you know it, and we cannot wait. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. All right, so if you remember in Game 1 of the ALCS, Carlos Correa hit the go-ahead home run for the Astros, and he tapped his wrist to signify that it was, quote-unquote, my time. And people obviously were wondering, what does this mean? Is this a knock at the Red Sox? Is this some sort of taunt, some different, like, home run celebration that the Astros are doing? But no, it was just him telling his teammates that it's my time, it's the playoffs, and his time has come. And he did exactly what he did when the lights were the brightest and the pressure was on, and he put his team up 1-0 in the ALCS, what seems like many moons ago now. Obviously, the Astros and Red Sox do have some history together. Red Sox fans and Astros fans don't particularly like each other's teams, and understandably so. So a lot of people were saying it was over the top, it's only game one, relax, calm down, it's only game one. And I was of that belief for a little while until he explained, like, it's my time, and I kind of liked the meaning behind it. I'd also be a hypocrite because I absolutely love bat flips, even if it's game one of 162 of a regular season. So all for celebrations, all for fun and friendly taunts, whatever. But then come game three with E-Rod on the mound, and E-Rod is dealing. I said he needs to go at least 5 or 6, and he did. He went 6 innings, so I'm glad to know he's listening to Locked On Red Sox. But a moment, a kind of a big moment, happened in the 6th inning. E-Rod got Carlos Correa 2 ground out to end the inning, and the threat of trying to put more runs on the board. And as E-Rod was walking back toward the dugout, he tapped his wrist. So obviously that was toward Correa and what he did in game one. And then the cameras pan to Alex Cora, who's clapping. And then as soon as he sees E-Rod doing the wrist tap there, you can hear him, or you can see him say, no, no. And then he pulls E-Rod aside as he's coming down the stairs into the dugout. They have a word, and the night goes on. The Red Sox win 12-3. They take a 2-1 series lead. Game 4, Tuesday night at Fenway Park. Big game for both teams, probably more must win for the Astros and the Red Sox, but we here at Locked On Red Sox are obviously pulling for the Boston team. But after the game, Alex Cora and E-Rod were questioned about the event that happened, and Alex Cora just said, it's kind of like when I tell my twins not to do something. He has young twin boys, for those of you who don't know. And he said, I'm kind of just disappointed. I just told them not to do it again. We don't act like that. That's not something we do. And E-Rod was remorseful or regretful. He did want to apologize to Correa for what he did. And it's not that big of a deal. Nobody was hurt. It's not offensive or anything. It's just everyone is caught up in the emotions of a postseason baseball game. And why not? The trip to the World Series is on the line. And every game counts. Every run matters. And it is very important to win these games any way you can. And the emotion is going to get to you sometimes. And that's what happened to E-Rod. And we've moved on from it. But Carlos Correa obviously was questioned about it as well, and he said he loved it. He said that he always keeps it real, which that, you know, we could go into why he may or may not keep it real, but we do not live in the past. But he came out and he said that he loved what E-Rod did. He had no issue with it. And that he did my celebration. That's awesome. He pitched nasty. And this is exactly how you grow the game. This is, people want to talk about emotion and showing your true self and your personality. This is exactly how you grow Major League Baseball. And this may be the very first time I ever agree with something Correa said, because this is exactly it. People love bat flips. People love big celebrations when you make a big play. If there's no harm, no foul, absolutely go do these taunts, do these celebrations, flip the bat. I mean, Kyle Schwarber, and I don't know if you could really call it like too much of a celebration, but when he hit the grand slam in Game 3, he obviously was very excited. He had his hand up. But you think back to other bat flippers and people who have celebrated. Andrew Benintendi, when he made the big catch against the Astros in the ALCS in 2018, looked like he let out a lion's roar after he made that catch. Then you think of Mookie Betts' 13-pitch grand slam, also in 2018. Over the monster, Eck is yelling, "Yay, it's time to party!" And his celebration almost tripping as he trots down the first base. Manny Ramirez, obviously Jose Bautista, who was like, I feel like he was the inventor of bat flips. Bryce Harper obviously does a lot of celebrating and pimping home runs. So I loved the emotion behind it. I obviously understand why Cora did not appreciate E-Rod doing so. Alex Cora has tons and tons of respect for Correa. They go way back. They are friends outside of baseball. They do a lot together for Puerto Rico. And they were together when Alex Cora was the bench coach of the Astros. So they do have a good history together. And I'm sure Cora doesn't want to ruin any of that, especially somebody he truly respects. And at the same time, like I said earlier, there is some history between these teams with the 2017 trash can scandal and Alex Cora being part of that team. And I don't know if that's part of it. I don't know if Cora is thinking like don't say anything because nobody's perfect. But like I said, I understand that's Alex Cora's friend. He doesn't want to cause any bad blood for no reason. But if Correa is okay with it, then I mean, you're not going to go against what your manager said, but it's much better Correa coming out and saying, yeah, I have no problem with it, than him being like, yeah, that was really dumb, because you don't want that to come back and haunt the Red Sox by any means. We have seen before in the past when teams have kind of taunted the Red Sox. Think to Aaron Judge bringing the boombox through the concourse at Fenway Park, blasting New York, New York. And just ask the Yankees how that turned out. They ended up losing. The Red Sox ended up beating everyone else in their path and went on to win the World Series. So you don't want this to come back and, you know, you don't want the Astros to rattle off 3 straight wins and go back to the moment when E-Rod tapped his wrist and be like, oh, he should not have done that. That's the turning point in the series for the Astros. But in similar respect, Carlos Correa tapping his wrist in Game 1 could have been the turning point for the Red Sox. So all in all, I'm fine with the wrist tapping, the bat flipping, the screaming, the celebrating, as long as you're not, you know, yelling in the face of other players. You're not being disrespectful. You're not crossing any lines. But also, not crossing lines is also not disrespecting your manager and not going behind his back and doing something that he told you not to do. But it was good energy from both sides. I think that E-Rod showing that emotion, I mean, you've seen him show emotion before. He slammed his glove on the mound in 2018 or 2019. I feel like that was 20 years ago now at this point. But it's fun and it's exciting to see professional athletes show personality and show emotion, because as Correa said, it's how you grow the game for younger audiences, for more casual fans, and it gets people realizing that these are more than just athletes. They are human beings. They have emotion. Yes, they play a sport, but that sport is their job. That's how they make their living. And you're fighting for a spot in the Fall Classic, baseball's biggest stage. Emotions are going to be all over the place. But it's clear that Cora has tremendous respect for Correa. I don't think E-Rod was trying to be disrespectful. I think the emotions just caught up to him and he was just like, this is my time now. It's his time. And E-Rod really needed a strong outing. And boy, did we get it. He went 6 innings, 7 strikeouts, and just gave the Red Sox a chance to win. And also, which not is really talked about too much, is that he provided a nice rest day for the bullpen. I mean, this could have turned ugly really quick. He could have gone 1 or 2 innings, and they could have used 7, 8, 9 pitchers like they have done it before in the ALDS and in the ALCS. But the pitching just really seems to be working. The emotion is there. They know what's at stake, and Nick Pivetta is on the mound for Game 4. And listen, I feel bad for the Astros. I mean, this is not boding well for them. They have Zach Greinke on the mound, and he didn't really sound too confident. Dusty Baker didn't really sound too confident. And pitching, we've talked about this, that pitching wins you games at the end of the day. And right now, the Red Sox are out pitching the Astros. They're outscoring the Astros, and they're just outplaying them. And this is so much fun for baseball fans, for Red Sox fans, really for anybody who isn't a Houston Astros fan. I mean, my best friend is going to Fenway for games 4 and 5, and she is a diehard Yankees fan. Her boyfriend, thankfully, is a lifelong Red Sox fan and hopefully trying to convert her, but I'll keep you updated on that. But when the emotions are there and they're running wild, your adrenaline is pumping, you got the out of the person who originally taunted your team. Not necessarily taunted the Red Sox, but you know, when you tap your wrist, you're sending a message to your team saying, this is my time. And you're getting a little cocky, you're getting a little confident, and why wouldn't you? You came back and won game one. That's a huge confidence booster. Winning that first game is so important. So let's just hope that these emotions, they continue to build this momentum, they continue to build this awesome chemistry that the Red Sox are having, and that they continue to get stronger every single day and carry this hopefully into an ALCS win and right into the World Series. Coming up in our second segment, we'll talk about the potential pitching plans for the rest of the series, or for at least Game 5. And we will also end the show on a positive note, which is going to be quite the feel-good story, so stay tuned for that. But first, this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now almost impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse just happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and right in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. You don't have to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and the prices are reliably low for every single customer. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution for your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Welcome back. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every day, especially today when my voice isn't the best. My allergies are getting the best of me, but I am here. I am providing this amazing Red Sox content for you because I love talking to you every day about the Red Sox, especially now when they're playing so dominant. So thank you for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen. Thank you for bearing with my allergy-riddled voice. But let's get talking about the starting pitching for games 4 and 5. Obviously, Nick Pivetta is on the mound tonight for the Red Sox starting game 4. He, of course, provided 4 innings of spectacular relief for the Red Sox earlier in the ALDS against the Rays. But now he gets the start, and for Game 5, Alex Cora said it's likely going to be Chris Sale. However, he is available for Game 4 out of the bullpen, so should they use Chris Sale Tuesday, they will not start Chris Sale Wednesday. I'd imagine they'd start Nate Eovaldi in that case. I'm not sure if the Astros do indeed tie the series, if they would want Eovaldi pitching a Game 5 or a Game 6. I don't know if they'd save him for Game 6 and get him a little extra rest. Maybe Tanner Houck. I don't know. So it's going to be really interesting to see. I do like the idea of Chris Sale pitching. I think he was a lot more confident in his last go around, in his last start, when he only went 2 2/3. Yes, but there was much more to like from that start. There was much more confidence there, I believe. And Alex Cora said he's going to play an important part in this series. He's going to play an important role, and you have to let this man do it. You have to let him try to be an important role, whether that's a starter, whether that's out of the bullpen. It's Chris Sale. You need to have him on your roster somehow, some way. And that's exactly what they're doing right now. But, you know, it will be very interesting to see, should Chris Sale pitch in Game 4, who they will go to then in Game 5, and how Alex Cora will really handle the pitching. I think he's done a tremendous job so far throughout the ALCS, between his relievers, putting his starters in the bullpen, and just managing all of that. So he's done a great job there. He's done a great job with this lineup. Grand slams everywhere. The Red Sox have hit 3 grand slams in the ALCS, first time in MLB postseason history. This little Red Sox wildcard team is making MLB history in the postseason when many people didn't even expect them to be here. Many people wrote them off before the season even started, and here they go, charging through your doors like that Big Bird gif where he just knocks down the door. He's like, hello, I'm here. What can I do for you? The ALCS is not over yet. Obviously, the Astros are a very very good team. They're in the ALCS for a reason, and the Red Sox are giving them hell, and that's what they need to continue to do, especially against Zach Greinke, whose history and his stats, it doesn't bode well for him. He is looking to get lit up in game four. I would never wish bad times, bad outings on pitchers, except this is the playoffs, anything goes. I hope Zach Greinke gets lit up. Stats show and history shows that he will. Obviously, stats mean nothing in the postseason, so we'll see which Zach Greinke the Astros get on Tuesday night. Either way, it's going to be a fun game. It's going to be a good game. I think we've seen really good baseball through games 1, 2, and 3. Offense, pitching, defense, everything. Everything is so, so good. Red Sox are taking advantage with men on base. They're making good catches. They're having fun. They're singing their lungs out to Dancing on My Own. All in all, just a very, very fun Red Sox team and very exciting series. Fenway is rocking. You can hear it on TV. I feel like I'm there. It's incredible, and I'm so, so happy to be part of this fan base, to be part of this city. It's such an exciting time to be a Red Sox fan and to be a Bostonian, really. Coming up in our third and final segment, I will end this show for you on a positive note and quite the feel-good story, so stay tuned for that. But first, this episode is brought to you by betonline.ag. That's right, we're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Do not wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Welcome back to our third and final segment of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. It is my favorite time of the day to be able to talk to you about the Red Sox, and my favorite time of the day to bring you your feel-good story and positive takeaway. And that is Kyle from Waltham, Kyle Schwarber. If you are unfamiliar with this story, the Section 10 podcast mentioned that Kyle Schwarber looked like just your typical 28-year-old Massachusetts resident, fit right in, said he could be from Waltham, and that nickname really stuck. And Jared Carrabas has done this before with nicknames. The mayor of Ding Dong City, Travis Shaw, that's the first thing that comes to mind. So the nickname has stuck. Every time Kyle Schwarber does something, Twitter goes nuts. They're saying, Kyle from Waltham, Kyle from Waltham, yeah, and it's a really like feel-good story and a lot of fun. So what happened was Jared Carrabas got his hands on a Waltham t-shirt from the local high school. It's the Waltham Hawks, and he sent it to the Red Sox clubhouse, and poor Kyle Schwarber was just like, who's Kyle from Waltham? I'm from Middletown, Ohio, and just really having fun with it. He wore the shirt in his post-game press conference on Monday night, and they were asking him about it, and he's like, well, I'm from Waltham now, so go Hawks. And just to kind of like put himself into that character, I guess I'll call it, and just put himself into this role of Kyle from Waltham and really just like leaning into it is so much fun. He fits right in. Like maybe he really could be from Waltham. However, what's also great about Kyle from Waltham is that Kyle Schwarber cannot pronounce Waltham. At the beginning of his press conference, he said Waltham, and I was like, okay, that's not too bad. But then he started saying Waltham, and it's just like, oh no, that's not right at all. You're clearly not from the New England area. And even Christian Arroyo was like, oh, they're all going to have a field day with that, Waltham. So it's been really fun to just see Kyle Schwarber lead into this whole Kyle from Waltham thing. And hopefully somebody can tell him how to properly say Waltham. And if you're not from Boston or you're not from Massachusetts or the New England area, you know that we have the weirdest cities and towns. I mean, people from out of town say Billerica when it's really Billerica. They say Haverhill when it's Haverhill. They don't even try to pronounce Leicester. And I get it. There's letters that don't belong. There's letters that don't make sense. And sometimes the pronunciation certainly doesn't make sense. So props to Kyle Schwarber for at least trying, but mega props to him for just being Kyle from Waltham. He's providing a lot of energy and a lot of good vibes for this team. And for somebody who is, or for a trade acquisition too, who people didn't really want. And they didn't want him, I'm saying that there was no room for him. They were very confused about where he would be, because why would an injured person play a first base, a position he's never played before? He's an outfielder, but the outfield is so clutch. So for somebody who didn't really have a spot on this team, he is making himself right at home, and now he's from Waltham. So lots of fun all around to have, and hopefully that fun can get translated into game 4 and the Red Sox can take a commanding 3-1 lead. But that will do it for today's episode of Locked On Red Sox. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every day. Follow me on Twitter at lalalalauren, three laws, and then Lauren of four R's. And be sure to follow the Locked On Red Sox Twitter account at @LO_RedSox. As well as read all my stuff on NESN.com. Tons of Red Sox content, Bruins content. I've got content for whatever sport you like, so go over there and check that out. Be sure to read Jason's coverage in the Boston Herald. Like I said at the beginning of the show, he's crushing it. I'm so proud of him. I can't wait till he's back on the show with me so we can banter and get this show back on the road and be able to talk to you every single day again together. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. When you do, you'll never miss an episode. Even if we drop it at 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 11 p.m., dinner time, you will never miss an episode as long as you are subscribed to Locked On Red Sox. And don't forget to listen to all the other Locked On shows across the network. Locked On Rays, Locked On Yankees, Locked On Astros. Everyone is doing such an incredible job. Be sure to go over and listen to them as well. Thank you, thank you, thank you for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every day. I cannot wait to talk Game 4 with you on our next episode. And now that you've made Locked On Red Sox your first listen, go make Locked On MLB your second listen of the day. Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, my personal good friend, friend of the podcast, we go way back. He brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues, both present and past. It's free and available on all platforms. Have a great day. We'll see you soon. Go Red Sox.